When you stop and think about a congregation, any congregation, do you think that everybody in that congregation is useful? Or are maybe some people useless? Think about that in any congregation. Then you think about that in this congregation. And then don't just think about it in this congregation, but think about it personally. Am I useful to the Lord or am I useless? And does the Bible talk about that? I think it does. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Before we get into the lesson, I want to express my thanks for everyone that's here this morning. Our number is down. We need to be praying for everybody. Brother Code had to go home after Bible class this morning. And we just need to keep praying for everybody, that everyone will get healthy and we will stay safe and all be back together again. And you know, it's when people are missing, you miss them. You miss them. And it's good when we can all be together. Let's look again in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." We need to ask ourselves, I need to ask myself, am I useful or useless to God's service? And we probably don't stop and think about that often enough. And we think, we're all right. Everybody thinks they're right or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. But uselessness, that's a terrible thought. A terrible thought. And I'll let you in on a little secret at the beginning. Usefulness and uselessness are the same in that they are an acquired condition. And it's a choice. We choose either to be useful or we choose to be useless. And I want to mention up front too that God does not place a time limit on our usefulness. He expects us to be useful until he calls us home. So I used this illustration of this tree that I've used before on our thinking. I think it'll help us understand this parable a little bit better. And I did the bulletin a little bit differently this morning. It's going to be more fill in, like a self-examination on things, and we will cover it as we go through. And I don't mean this to be a negative sermon, but I think it's something that is important that we examine ourselves and see if we're on the right track. And then with events that have unfolded and are still unfolding, that we don't know what things will be, I was thinking what to preach on for the next couple weeks. And I think next week I'm going to preach a sermon on hope. And then I want to start preaching a few on different attitudes that we need to have at this time, on perseverance and just maybe some of the fruit of the Spirit, some things that will help us to get through the days as days are going to be a little more uncertain. Well, what makes somebody not useful in the kingdom, in the vineyard? Is it age? Is it once you reach a certain age, you're no longer useful? No, that's not it. Is it talent? No, because one person might have one talent, one person might have 10. We are still supposed to use whatever talents we have. What makes some people useful and others useless in the kingdom? I'll tell you, one of the biggest qualities that determines that is attitude. Attitude. If we want to or if we don't want to. An attitude is something you have whether you're 5 years old or 105 years old. And that's why I say you can't put a time limit on this. Our attitude makes a difference. Attitude is something you have whether you have one talent or you have 10 talents. And friends, your attitude is your choice. My attitude is my choice. To start with, I want you to write down five verses, and I will mention them and read through them. The first one is in Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, we need to have an attitude where we choose to serve the Lord. Proverbs 23:7, the second verse. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with you. What we're thinking in our heart and our mind is going to be manifested in our life. We need to choose carefully the thoughts that we put in. The third verse, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Friends, we need to have an attitude to seek the kingdom first, and when we do, we'll be useful. But what happens? We often choose to worry about things, to choose to worry about the things of the world. And you see children playing. You see children playing. What are they worrying about? Not much at all. Maybe if somebody has what they want, or they might have a slight disagreement. But children don't worry. But we're children of God. And what do we often do? Satan distracts us and makes us worry, and then we do not become useful for the kingdom. Romans 12:2, the fourth verse, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we renew our mind. We renew our attitude. And it needs to get charged up. You think about a battery in your car. That battery gets run down. What do you need to do? You need to charge it up. You need to renew it. And friends, because we live in this world, our minds are going to get run down. They're going to get drained. And we need to renew our minds. We need to be transformed by that. And again, that goes back to our attitude. The fifth verse, 2 Corinthians 10, beginning at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts its against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what is the biggest enemy that we face out in the world? Do we need to put on like knight's armor and have physical weapons to go out and fight? Friend, the bigger enemy we battle is not according to the flesh, but it's the thoughts of our mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's the stronghold that Satan wants to get a hold of? What is that stronghold? It's our mind. He knows if he can get a hold of this stronghold, he's got us. And if he gets a hold of this stronghold, are we going to be useful in the vineyard? We aren't going to be useful. Here's a bonus verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do we believe that? If we don't believe that, we need to start believing it. And you turn on the TV, and I turn it on less and less. You hear people talk, and they are fearful. They are fearful. I understand their fear, but as children of God, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if we want to be useful, we need to choose to serve God, Joshua 24:15. We need to choose to think the right things, Proverbs 23:7. We need to choose to renew our mind, Romans 12:2. We need to choose to bring every thought into captivity, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. We need to choose a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. You see, these are attitudes. These are attitudes. Being useful to God is a mindset. It's an attitude. And it does not happen by accident. We aren't just going to roll out of bed in the morning and be useful at our job. We aren't going to just roll out of bed in the morning and be useful to our King. We have to intentionally plan on what we are going to do and live a life that demonstrates that. Matthew 5:13, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So these two things, being salt and being light, is there a time limit, an age limit on that? Is there anybody that can't be light and can't be salt? Do we think our light's not big enough? Do we think it's not big enough? Have any of you ever gone down into a cave, like Mammoth Cave or someplace, and they take you down where it's really dark, and then they turn off all the lights, you're in this big area, and then what do? They'll light a match or turn on a lighter, and just a few seconds before, you couldn't see the hand in front of your face, and that one little match or lighter, what does it do? It lights up the whole area. It lights up the whole area. And that's what Jesus says we are to be. We are to be lights. And we think our little light doesn't have an influence, an effect. It has a big effect. And then you add another one and another one and another one. And we let our light shine. We let our light shine individually with people that we come in contact with people in the community. Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. This person on the quote under this verse says, there is no passion to be found playing small in settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. You want to go out and be the best you can be, do the best. We called Carol's one of her relatives yesterday, and the individual was watching the football game. And that's not uncommon at all this year. So many people, they will be glued to the TV set to watch a football game. Who do they root for? The team that's on the bottom of the list? The team that the players don't care about playing? Would you support a team like that? People that don't care about what they're doing, they go out and fumble around? No. You want to watch people, you want to be associated people that are the very best at what they do. Whatever you do, whatever I do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Why don't we want to do that? Sometimes we have fears. We generate fears while we sit. Do you know how you overcome that fear? You get up and you do something. You act. You get up and you do something. You act. Sometimes we might think, we aren't saving enough people. We aren't saving enough people. You know how many people I have saved? I tell you, it's a big zero. It's a big zero. The gospel saves. Jesus saves. We do not save, but what do? We plant seeds. We plant seeds. We plant seeds. Hopefully we find a good and honest heart, and that will bring forth fruit. That makes us useful. We are useful in the kingdom. So we need to be asking ourselves, I need to be asking myself, how many seeds did I plant today? Did God give me a day? I woke up this morning. Why did He give me a day? Did He give me a day to use it for my own selfish desires? Or did He give me a day to bring honor and glory to Him? Did He give me the seed? He gave me the seed. It's right here. I wonder why He gave me the seed. Well, we know why He gave us the seed. In Matthew 28:18-20. I wonder why God gave us Matthew 28:18-20. Maybe because He wants to take that seed and go out and sow it in that day that He gave us. Again, it's an attitude. It's an attitude. This little saying here, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant. Because you know what? With God's law of sowing and reaping, you sow the seed, there is going to come a harvest. It may not come, well, again, you compare it to the physical realm. You plant a watermelon seed, you aren't going to eat that watermelon tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. You sow the gospel seed, it's going to take time. But it will bring forth fruit in good and honest hearts. One word of encouragement can be enough to spark someone's motivation to continue with a difficult challenge. Age does not affect our effectiveness in the kingdom. And older members have some of the most wisdom and understanding of this world that can be a great asset to us, to help us. We need to be useful, not useless. And somebody might say, well, how can you say that? Are you saying somebody in the church is useless? Well, I think when we went through the parables and Jesus was talking about the parable of the tares, He let the disciples know that there are going to be some people in among God's people that are not doing what they ought to be, and they wanted to take them out in that parable. Master, let's go in and just take them out right now. And He said, no, wait till the harvest time, and when the angels come, they will remove them. So sometimes, again, we don't want to compare ourselves to each other. That's the wrong standard. We compare ourselves to God. We compare ourselves to God. So let's focus on this tree for a few minutes. In Luke 13 and verse 6, He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Notice that this tree was planted. It was planted. There's some intentional action in that. This tree was planted in a vineyard. How about us? Are we planted? God plants us in His vineyard in the kingdom. Acts 2:47. The church, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. We are planted in the vineyard. Notice again the same verse. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a tree planted in his vineyard. The vineyard, that's a prepared place. A prepared place for this tree that is planted. That plant enjoys protection and care in that vineyard. We are planted in the church, a prepared place, in the church where we are protected. Acts 20 and verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Friends, Christ purchased the church. He purchased us with His own blood. That's a price that we cannot comprehend. He purchased us. He added us to the church, that prepared place for protection. He is going to protect us. All blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Where? You know the answer. In Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you aren't going to have any spiritual blessings. You aren't going to have those heavenly blessings outside of Christ. Notice the parable again. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, but found none. That's kind of unreasonable, isn't it? To expect fruit from a fig tree? Is that unreasonable? No, that's why you planted it. That's why the owner went out and planted that tree. The purpose was for it to bear fruit. And it was to bear after its own kind. It was to bear after its own kind. A fig tree would bear figs. He came seeking fruit on it and found none. We are to bear after our own kind. We are planted. We are planted in a prepared place, the church, and we are to bear fruit after our own kind. What is that? Well, we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit because that's part of it. There is, and God, Christ, does not leave it up to us to wonder what fruit we are to bear. He tells us very plainly, but it was planted, its purpose it was planted was to bear fruit. So look in Galatians 5:22 and we see the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I try to say this the right way. These are attitudes. But you know it goes along with attitude. An attitude is manifested. An attitude is manifested. You see it, you go back to children. I won't pick on any adults, but you see it in children. You see a child that's happy, they're going to manifest joyfulness and laughing and not worrying about things. You see a child that has an attitude of anger, you're going to see him yelling and kicking and screaming and doing things like that. Well, this is fruit of the Spirit. And when we have the Spirit, when we read the Word of God and we have the Spirit, we are to have these attitudes. And not just have them, we are to manifest them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we need to have a mindset of love. When we get up in the morning, we need to have a mindset of joy. Is Satan going to try to knock us over and get us off of that mindset? Real fast. But we, again, are planted in a vineyard, planted to bear fruit. And we need to be mindful that this is some of the fruit that we are to bear. This tree was not planted for itself. It was planted for the benefit of others. It was planted for the benefit of this certain man. And why did Christ, why did God redeem us and plant us in his vineyard? Was it for our selfish benefit, for our selfish purposes? No, it was for the benefit of a certain man, of God. He planted us in his vineyard for us to bear fruit. Again, Matthew 5:16, we looked at, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And when they see our good works, what are they to do? Glorify your Father in heaven. A thought that goes along with that, Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We sing the song, Let the Lower Lights Be Beaming. And that was written, that song was written about the lights along the shore where the ships were coming in and a disaster that took place there. But we see the importance of light. And of being light. We benefit others by living a life to God. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that's that manifestation, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice, okay, we have this tree. The certain man plants it. He plants it in a vineyard, this place of care and protection. He plants it with purpose. The purpose was to bear fruit. But he came seeking fruit on it and found none. So this tree utterly failed. Was this tree useful or was it useless? This tree was useless because it did not bear fruit. In John 15:2, Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So the purpose, again, of any plant, any vine, is to bear fruit. This tree invited destruction. It invited destruction because it didn't bear any fruit. We invite destruction if we don't bear any fruit. And God doesn't make us do anything. Again, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. He gives us a choice. We choose what we want to do. We choose if we want to honor ourselves or to honor God. And when we bear fruit, there may be some things that in our life that is not what they ought to be. And what's God going to do? He's going to prune them out of our life. We may be attached to this too much. We may love that too much. And he may do some pruning in our life, and we may not like it, but what's the result going to be? What's the purpose going to be? The purpose is to bear more fruit and to find favor with the certain man, with God. And if we don't, the option is we invite destruction and we'll be cast into that fire. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are we talking about great, big, mighty works? We're talking about anything, Just like I love this slide right here, this older lady talking to the younger lady. Have you ever had a talk with somebody and it just changed your life? I know I have. What if that person had an attitude, I don't want to talk to her, I don't have time, you won't listen? Friends, we need to have the right attitudes. The attitudes make us useful, and it's a choice of what attitude we have. Why did the tree fail? It was useless. Unfruitful branches were cut off. You know, we can lose our soul over things that we can do, and we can lose our soul over things that we don't do. We can be damned for not doing. Matthew 25, when it talks about the judgment scene, and verse 35, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, and they say, when did we see you this way, and when did we see you that way, and when did we do this and that? And they didn't do it. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see all this? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. If Jesus Christ walked through the door and he was hungry, would we feed him? If we saw Jesus Christ today and he was thirsty, would we give him a drink? If we saw Jesus Christ today walking up and down on the streets and didn't have clothes and needed clothes, would we give him clothes? I think we would. We aren't going to see Jesus, but what's he say? To the extent that you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Because he wants us to be useful and to help others. They were not feeding others. They were not clothing others. They were not visiting the sick. They were not visiting people that were in prison. They were not taking care of others. They were condemned for not doing. The virgins, they were condemned for not having oil for the wedding feast. 1 Kings 19:9, Elijah, one of the greatest prophets, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? You see, Elijah got discouraged. He got distracted. And he was hiding in a cave. And the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Friend, you see, this tree was a hindrance. It wasn't bearing fruit. Our attitudes can either be our biggest asset or our biggest enemy. Indifference, apathy. Those are negative things. Well, what's the attitude, or what's the remedy? up. In verse 9, and if it bears fruit, verse 8, he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Dig around it and fertilize it. We've got to feed our mind. We've got to read God's word so that it will bear fruit. Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. We have to change the way we were thinking. When we change the way we were thinking, we'll change the way we live our life. We looked at some fruit in Galatians 5:22, another verse to jot down on your list, and you can read it this afternoon. 2 Peter 1:5-11. We talk about the Christian graces, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. These are things, these are fruits that we are to manifest in our life. Hebrews 13:5 talks about the fruit of our lips. What's the fruit of our lips? That's offering praise unto God, singing and praying. Singing and praying. Friend, the vineyard owner's desire is for the tree to bear fruit. That is us. He desires that we bear fruit. Can we do it? We can do it. There are so many different kinds of fruit that we can bear. The question is, what's our attitude? Are we choosing to do it? If we choose to do it, it makes us useful in the kingdom and we will be rewarded. If we do not, it makes us useless and the landowner will cut us out and burn us in that fire. It's a real simple parable. I think it has a lot of things in it for us to think about and for each of us to consider how much fruit we are bearing. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that is outside of that vineyard, you can't be bearing any fruit at all. You have to be in the vineyard first. You have to be in the family of God. You have to be baptized into Christ where all those spiritual blessings are, and then he will add you to the church, just like that vineyard owner planted that tree in that vineyard. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.